Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue. It won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that's no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. 3 and Out starts now. Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Alex Comas with you. Alex, I may need to be turned up on this little board. Or you can do it, I think, from there. Yeah. No, I think you can just turn me up on the slider.
You weren't muted.
I wasn't muted. We did not mute me, which is, that's better, a little higher. I like to hear my own voice. Happy Friday out there, if you're listening.
No. Oh, wow, that's me.
Okay.
Turn me up, not so much you.
Oh, he's on it. He's got it. Check one. Check, there it is. That's a little better. Justin Rose on a heater.
Is it going to be one of those shows?
What? I'm not allowed to lead with Masters talk? What would you prefer me to lead with?
No, I'm just saying, like...
I was actually about to parlay that into a compliment to you, but...
I was just going to say, I mean, like, Nate's not here. He bailed.
He bailed.
And it's a baseball and golf show. You know, I mean, that's right up my my area of expertise.
You are a sports radio aficionado. Sometimes the sports aren't your favorite, but we have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Justin Rose on a heater to close out his opening round at the Masters, a la Davey Hudson, also on a heater. Do you want to give your numbers for April right now?
For April, I am 22-5.
What?
A good Lord.
A good God.
I'm doing well.
Davey, you're breaking Vegas.
Wouldn't go that far, but...
I mean, look, hypothetically, if you were putting $1,000 down per game,
yeah, I would be doing very well in that situation. Yeah. Last 2 days, 8-0. The lowest odds on that. It was two hockey games.
Davey, I didn't think you were capable of anything good.
Isn't it 12-1 in your last three?
I think that's right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that is right.
12-1 in the last 3 days.
And that one, another mistake by me, but, you know, we'll go with that. I was trying to play a strategy, and I went against my models.
Ladies and gentlemen, who are you?
I don't know, man. Just taking it day by day.
I mean, round of applause and then some, bro. Like, that's incredible. I wanted to jump in last night, and I just know what's going to happen. I'm going to jump in and kill the heater. It's like a bad craps player comes in and just kills the mojo at the table, right? It's a guy hitting when he shouldn't on blackjack, and it just throws everybody's game off. I want to come in and join you. I don't want to mess up the mojo. What if you started betting double for me? Look at all those green check marks. Like, who are you? You're like Rain Man. You're like Alan at the blackjack table. Alan at the blackjack table is more you. That's more you. Little Carlos. Shouts out. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done indeed.
I'm having fun. I also did not take that bet about any of the golfers getting 69.
One? Oh.
Well, I should have taken the one.
I was
going to
say the 69 or I guess it was 68 or lower. It was under 69.
69 or lower.
Yeah, neither of those three hit that.
There were only three players that were in the 60s. And none of them would have allowed that bet to even come close to cashing.
But there was at least one hole in one. Was there two?
I saw a video of one.
Yeah, the one I saw was Tommy Fleetwood.
Great shot.
I forgot what hole
Great.
It was on. Yeah.
He just...
he's got incredible lettuce.
Is he the one who just... He just went right at it, right? Like, it just like double hopped and hit the pin and bounced.
And
yeah.
Banked it in.
That was an amazing shot. Someone said he hit that ball mad. Because, you know, normally the guys will sling it up on the green and let it kind of trickle back down. He's just like, nah, I think I got this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just going to go right for it. Impressive.
I mean, at that point, I think he was +4 or +5 on the day. And hitting that, he went down to +2. So, wouldn't be surprised if he was a little mad prior to that hole.
That'd change your day, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, a hole-in-one, opening round of the Masters. Probably feeling pretty good about himself after that.
Speaking of feeling pretty good, you must be feeling pretty good about the Spieth pick. I mean, apart from Justin Rose,
the triple
going
bogey?
Ballistic. Well, no. I mean, he had the triple bogey, well, but he recovered, yeah. Finished 1-under on the day.
The problem is Justin Rose is running away with this.
Yeah.
I know it's one day, but he was 9-under in his last 11 holes. Par or birdie in his last 11 holes. That's unbelievable. He's 7-under. Second place is 3-under. Like he's 4 shots up after day 1. There were 3 players in the 60s yesterday, Dave. Justin Rose, Brian Harman, and Hideki Matsuyama. Did you guys watch any of it? I'm sure Davey did not.
I did.
I did not.
What did you think about just the aesthetic? Like medium fans?
I mean, obviously.
Good, bad, eh?
It's better to have, you know, medium fans than no fans at all compared to the fall.
I agree.
So I think the aesthetic was about 75% there. I mean, you get.
I'd agree.
Full fans there than 100%. But I thought. The idea that the course was made so much harder this year than what it was last year, because opening round, the combined score of all players was +220.
Whew.
Last year, it was like under 56. So the idea that they amped it up, made it even harder to play. I forgot who was putting. I think it was on 13. He had about a 30-foot, 40-foot putt. For eagle, he missed it, and it went into the water. And so he had the same putt, same distance for par. Because the greens were just so firm, and the ball was moving so fast on
him. Only 12 players in the field under par.
It's incredible. I like that kind of golf. Like, I don't want crazy.
I do, too. You can tell, though, some of those greens, They're a little cooked, man. Yeah. Like, they're dry.
Yeah.
And this is the Masters. Like, no one does more work, but you can tell, like, some of the spots, you can see where the grass is starting to kind of brown and get... They need that rain that's coming in, but it's going to change a lot of the dynamic of this course.
For sure.
The outfits just every year get more and more interesting to me. Like, I think, is it Bubba Watson who played in, like, a Hawaiian-style floral? I mean, it's a polo, obviously. There are rules here. But just, like you said, I saw a couple guys with, like, just mullets. Like, it's just, the entire game has changed. Like, it used to be, like, the, you get your hair cut and you put your, you know, perfectly groomed outfit on and you go play golf.
No, not anymore.
And now it's like, you know what? I'm just going to have a little flair, have a little style.
Which, I don't mind that at all.
No, I don't either. I just wonder if, like, Masters traditionalists are like, oh, they're embarrassing. Yeah. Of course. I can only imagine. The Tennessee Vols had a scrimmage yesterday. We'll break into that a little bit here later.
I know David news. Can't wait
breaking, for that. Like, right now? Mm-hmm. We never get breaking news. Go ahead.
Prince Philip has passed away.
R.I.P.
So that's what kind of show this is going to be, huh? You just bring it up?
That came across my timeline. I always complain about the royal family, so it's like, well, I guess if there's news, I got to say something.
He's like, 101, 102?
I was like, we got away from this country or that country for a reason.
Did, so I mean, have you seen him in recent pictures?
I mean, he looks like he's been dead for 30 years.
Like, very Dracula-esque.
I mean, you're not going to look any younger.
That's a nice picture, though.
That's a good picture. Very,
very, very sharp.
Regal.
Yeah.
Royal, you know, given the circumstances.
R.I.P.
Yes, rest in peace to Prince Philip. As I was saying, the Tennessee Vols had a football scrimmage yesterday. We'll get into that. Tennessee baseball opens a big weekend series tonight against the Florida Gators. Thank you to Callum, who has sent us in basically all the breakdown we need for that. I love it when the listeners do, like, the show prep for us. Makes things a lot easier, especially on a morning show.
Not going to complain.
He was mad yesterday because we didn't talk about it. I'm like, I might have to say that for Friday, opening day of the series. You know, might need that.
I'm just going to go ahead and apologize to Callum in advance.
Why? For whatever you're going to do to that
probably,
segment?
Probably, yeah, I guess so. Hadn't thought it through. Usually don't.
Mm-hmm.
Usually just act out of instinct.
Right. That's very much your style. I also have a game I want you two to play. Given the nature of the time of year, I have come up with a game that will pit Davey v. Alex. The winner will face Nate on Monday. The game is Masters or Bassmasters.
Oh, God.
I will break this game down.
It's no porn star versus wrestler, but okay.
It's the best I could do, because I'm not going to steal the exact idea from Jonas Knox, who does the overnights for Fox Sports Radio National. I'll hear that tomorrow as I'm driving to the lake, I'm certain. So instead of pro wrestler v. porn star, Jonas Knox, maybe the best game show on radio in the world, you guys will play Master or Masters v. Bassmasters. Mm. So I'll give you, well, I'll break it down later.
I hope I can know the names of fishes.
It's not, it's not going to be fish. Although maybe it will. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Is this a person or a fish?
Mm.
It's like the Latin name for the fish. Salmonoid Potamidus.
Johnny the Guppy. Oh, please.
Johnny the Guppy. I wonder if you could do that with, like, is this someone's pet or is this a mob boss? Like, oh, yeah, Tony the Fish. Is it? But what do you guys think? Masters or Bassmasters?
Don't know until we try it.
I'm going to put money on Dave. Just because he's been on the show longer, he's probably heard me say a random fisherman's name from time to time, but it's PGA Tour v. There's a couple different. Again, I still got to workshop it a little bit. We'll do that during the break.
Yeah, I mean, if I haven't heard of the, if the name doesn't
the best
sound
thing
familiar,
is it's 50-50. You got a 50-50 yeah. shot every time.
Yeah, I feel like I'll drill all the golfers.
Interesting.
It's just the fishermen, if they have like a golfing type name.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna
Tiger Woods is golf.
Right. Like if I said Kevin Van Damme.
That's a movie star. I'm just kidding.
That's his brother, Jean-Claude. Anyway, just stay tuned, everybody. Going to be a jam-packed show. I have no idea what today's show is going to be like. It depends on Dave. Like, Dave stays focused for an hour or two, we might get an hour or two that's pretty good. We lose Dave at this break, it's going to be a struggle.
We all know that won't happen.
At any point during today's show, feel free to call in. Bring us something to talk about. 865-546-8200 is the number. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. The Vols have scrimmaged. Either of you guys read anything about the scrimmage?
No, I did not.
Stunner.
Me neither.
Really? Neither of you?
No.
Okay.
Too busy watching golf.
I understand. Well, I mean, it's not like you could watch it. You could like have golf on in the background as you read a little bit of the article.
Well, the coverage didn't kick off till, what, 3?
Not if you have the app.
Not true.
Yeah.
Gotta get, watching it on my computer.
You need to get that app, like, right now. It's worth it.
Well, the computer bigger
it's also,
screen.
It's also free.
Yeah. Did we look good?
So this is the thing about Josh Heupel that I like. Pruitt would come out of a scrimmage or a practice, and he would lead off with, like, well, I thought the guys played hard. But we made too many. Like, there was always, like, the but, and then just insert the rest of the negative part of what he thought. Heupel seems to be very complimentary of his team. All the time. I don't know if that's going to mean more wins on the field down the road. I have no idea. But I like that he doesn't just kill guys in the media. He doesn't come out of every practice with this, you know, we're not good enough attitude. I think he understands that basically what they're installing is not something they can just pick up, you know, after a few practices. But he seemed positive. He said his team was flying around, said they're learning, said they're getting better. It sounded like the quarterbacks protected the ball, which is awesome given what we've been through the last few years with, you know, quarterbacks not doing that. Let's see what he said here. They went full tackling for 85% of the scrimmage, working in a bunch of different guys on the depth chart.
What depth chart?
He has a depth chart. We don't have a depth chart. Don't you think at this point he would have, like, an idea?
I thought we'd need a certain amount of players to have a depth chart.
We do have a certain amount of players. It's just positional. I mean, I don't know who played linebacker, if that's what you're asking. Is that what you're getting at?
I just know the defensive two deep is not very deep.
It's a two shallow. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Zing. Let's see. Heupel said there's a bunch of things you're trying to get your team to do. At the end of the day, when you get inside the stadium, you get an opportunity to put guys on the sideline. They've got to line up, get the signal, play the play, learn how to reset, and go play the next play. You're trying to teach them what the game of football looks like in a live setting with officials, ball mechanics, all those things, trying to grow a football team. We try to simulate a lot of that during the course of practice, but there's nothing like being inside the stadium and it being for real. Coaches off on the sideline, letting those guys play. There are a lot of positive things from today. Of course,
I want positivity.
Yikes. He said he didn't have a scoreboard, so he couldn't tell you who won the offense or the defense. Do you buy that?
Yes.
I don't buy it at all. I think he knows.
I mean, I don't think it was on the scoreboard, but yeah, I think he knows.
That's what I meant. Yeah, I think the offense.
No, like it wasn't on the scoreboard, but he said he was. They weren't keeping score.
I am interested to see how, I guess, his system works whenever he's trying to implement it, and you're talking about they want to go so fast on offense that they kind of need the refs to also be in line with them.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to look?
Well, he mentioned that a while back, and it's he basically puts it on the players.
To just spot it themselves and...
Like, basically run the ball back. You know, especially, like, you go out of bounds at the 20, like, you're running the ball back to the right hash, for example, and you're getting it close, and you're handing it to the ref like as fast as possible, and then the team just lines up as quick as they can. What's weird to me about this, so Tennessee's defense has to go against this offense every day in practice. They will not see an offense like this all season long. So Tennessee's defense has to get their call, get lined up, and get ready to, in every scrimmage scenario, to play Josh Heupel's offense. I would imagine as you get into the season and you have more time between plays, that should only help with communication, alignment, calls, so on and so forth. I mean, is there a team in the Big Ten that plays this fast?
No.
So has Tim Banks ever seen a team or, you know, called a game against a team that's played this fast?
I'm sure he's had a game, but...
But not just consistently,
one out,
right?
Yeah, just one outlier.
That's just, I just think that part of this is, like, so fascinating. Because Tennessee's obviously installing a brand-new defense. Unfortunately, it's kind of like if, like Georgia Tech's defense, right? Like, every time they scrimmage, they're going up against triple option back in the day. They probably didn't play a triple option team all year. Like, in that case, I'm like, that's probably...
You just have to be very, very reliant on a good scout team.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, when the team, you know, when it's live, mm-hmm. as far as your own team, like, Georgia Tech's defense was playing against, like, it's nothing like what they'll see in the regular season. The play calls are going to be stuff that this defense will see, but the speed, the tempo of the offense, so different. I can actually only think that helps Tennessee's defense mature faster and play a little bit better, again, whatever their ceiling is, once you get into the season and you're not playing teams that are trying to snap the ball every 3 seconds. Is there a negative here? Other than it might take them a little longer to kind of catch on, but then once you slow down in the season on defense, it has to be an advantage. Like, oh yeah.
Unless you're just not...
Unless they're just bad.
There's that, but if you're not used to...
Like checks at the line.
Out, yeah, and then, I mean, other offenses are able to see what sets you're going to be in and pretty much pick you apart because they understand what you're about to do. I mean, like going up against a Mike Leach type mind is, granted, we don't have to play them, but I'm just saying, like somebody that understands where the holes in a defense are going to be mm-hmm. at, if you can see that way ahead of time, that could spell some problems.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, you know, because of going up against, I mean, we know it's a fact that Heupel's offense, when the defense is on the sideline, is a disadvantage for Tennessee's defense because they're just playing so fast, they're scoring so fast, or they're going three and out so fast that your defense is not going to get a lot of breaks. But it just feels like... And the audible thing is interesting. I'm sure there are going to be times where Heupel wants to, you know, audible something. Is that a common theme in his offense? Because it feels like they kind of see something in the alignment and they're playing so fast that... Hey, we know that they're in a, you know, a 4-2. Their nickelback is weak. We're going to pick on that guy until they do something different. But it's happening so fast that it's going to take the defense time to adjust. But is Heupel a big audible guy?
I couldn't tell you.
He's obviously not like a check with me at the line. I mean, Butch Jones did that.
I mean, with the RPOs.
It's like every play is an audible in a way. Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's a good point. Heupel closed with, the thing I love about this group is that they listen. They're working to become what they're capable of. The challenge and the race against yourself to become as good and as fast as you can. These guys have accepted that in a really positive way and are starting to demand it from the guy next to him, inside and outside of the locker room. That accountability's got to come from within, and our group is starting to learn that and take ownership of it. Starting to get a little positivity, Dave?
I don't know if I'd say that, but I am looking forward to seeing what they look like come spring practice. I mean, the orange and white game.
You're not going to go to the open practice tomorrow?
The one that's going to get canceled? No.
It's a good opportunity. Go check it out for yourself.
Check out the weather update.
I think it's like 70% chance.
70% is what I'm seeing. A high of 73, a low of 52.
I'll start getting excited once I know we can fill out a defense.
Once we get some guys back, healthy and off suspension.
Yeah.
Heupel also made a comment about the suspended players and said, we are getting closer to learning about how that situation is going to pan out. Something along those lines. Basically, like, we really don't know, but we're going to know soon. I guess that means they're going to have their little date with the council, the student council or whatever, conduct council. But it sounds like, I mean, yes, they're suspended, but he's not sure if that means they'll be back next week or, like, they might be kicked out of the university.
Like, so, all of them? Or just, like, the Stokely group?
Those are the ones I'm talking about.
Okay.
Those four. Is there another one Beasley's. Yeah, that's a little different.
I think you'll have a couple guys kicked off.
Out of that group?
Out of the group, yeah.
Not the Beasley group, the Stokely group.
Correct. I look, it's probably one of those situations where you had, obviously we know everyone who was there, but it's typically like a guy or two that's kind of leading the way, and the others are there for moral support, probably is a way to say it. And they'll try to make an example out of a couple, and the others are just going to have to work really hard to earn it back.
You think Hype will do that? You think he'll? I mean, he may not have a choice, but the problem is you know, two of them are linebackers. One of, you know, your highest rated recruit in the previous class, a talented defensive tackle, and a quarterback who was supposed to come in and be the next Russell Wilson per guys like Trent Dilfer. So I don't know. I mean, it probably can't be linebacker just based on depth. I don't think it'll be
both of the other two. I don't think position really matters.
Yeah, I mean, as coming in, setting a new – you're trying to set a new tone for the program, I feel like
– Well, also in fairness, we don't know the exact details of what happened. So it may not be as bad as we think. It may be a lot worse. Yep. We really just don't know. That's up to Heupel and I don't know if the – you know, UTPD is investigating that, or if it's just strictly a university panel decision. But they'll obviously have all the information.
I don't think the UTPD is necessarily involved too much since they didn't press charges.
That's right. The guy chose not to, right?
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how Dr. Danny and Coach Heupel decide to play it from an athletic standpoint. I don't know. I mean, we got a really good feel for how old Phil and
it was do whatever you
Jeremy
want.
Would handle it.
It was just do. I mean, so we'll unless see. You, not to be like grotesque, but like unless you hit a girl in the head with a glass candle, like you were pretty much good. You would get, you know, suspended, but then yeah, you'd work your way back onto the team. Going to be interesting to see if Heupel and DW are good cop or bad cop. I guess is the best way to put it. Take a quick break. Be back after this. It's 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. We are getting fan submissions for the title of the game you guys will be playing later in the show. I think they're all pretty good. I went with Masters or Bassmasters. We have Class versus Bass. Bunkers or Lunkers.
Ooh.
Pole or Hole. And then Mad said, never mind. Pole versus Hole might be a little too off color for such a classy show.
Could be taken a different way.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
I find it humorous.
No, it's funny. That was the point. Yeah.
Got my eye on the stone.
She sent in another one. I don't know if I don't think I can read this one on air, but it's really funny. What do you think? She said, Masters versus... Go for it, Dave. You can say it.
Baiters.
Yeah. You know, like, bait the hook type of thing. Well, again, we're workshopping the title of the game. The game itself is set. These two will be given a name and have to decide if that player or competitor is a golfer or a professional bass fisherman. We'll probably play that at some point in the 8 o'clock hour. You won't want to miss it. Big plans for the weekends, gentlemen?
Nope. Nothing. I'll try to go to the Sunday game of the Florida-Tennessee series for baseball, but apart from that, working today.
Do we think they're going to get all three in?
They'll probably double up.
Sunday?
Yeah.
Tonight, I heard that whatever rain we're supposed to get is supposed to
should be move out, right?
Yeah.
I don't see anything on it for tonight. Like, it'd be scattered. Like, if nothing's setting in tonight, so if they do get a storm, like, I think they'll be able to just play through it. Like, I mean, obviously have a delay, but I don't see a reason right now as to why they shouldn't get in tonight's game. As for my weekend plans,
Taking the boat out?
Yeah. Well, I'll actually probably help my dad install a lift.
Mm.
So that'll probably take up a good amount of time.
Have you done that before?
I have not.
Type of construction or manual labor. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Just checking.
It's a trick question, sure. Yeah.
Sorry?
I've never installed a lift. I've installed the beams to put up a lift.
Already?
Yeah.
Head of the game?
Mm-hmm.
So you got everything ready to go. It's a big task. It's a covered dock, right? Like, even if it's raining, you guys can still get a little bit of work done.
Yeah.
Okay.
My boat's currently out of the water. I was detailing it this week.
Detailing it?
Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta keep it clean, man. You gotta have a...
No, nice, it's just funny nice that you said detailing and not just, like, you know, cleaning it up.
No, I was detailing it.
Like wax? Buffing?
Mm-hmm.
You said you did vacuum it.
Well, I vacuumed it, and the seats had gotten a little bit of mildew just mm-hmm. from being outside.
Did you go buy some mildew spray?
I didn't go buy it, and I found some stuff that I was like, oh, this should
in
work.
In the garage?
And it worked, yeah.
That's good. All right. Just wanted to check.
I don't know.
Make sure.
Probably hit up the Tiki Hut. Who knows?
Is that a thing?
What?
Do you have a Tiki Hut?
Well, I don't have a Tiki Hut.
Is there
hut.
A real place called?
I can drive to the Tiki Hut.
That's a real place?
Well, it's part of an actual, like, well-known establishment in the area, but...
It is called the Tiki Hut?
That's what we call it, yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Was there any... I mean, again,
it's
this
next
is
to the Marina.
Marinara. They got a drumster out back.
I'll call the Marina the Marina.
Marina. Was there anything breaking in the NFL yesterday? Anything crazy other than the sad story out of South Carolina? Did you hear about that, by the way?
Yeah, it was... I was just trying to think if anything else happened.
Adams, right?
Phil, yeah.
I don't know if... I usually don't like talking about stories like this, but ex-NFL player shot and killed five people and then himself in South Carolina, including his former doctor, the doctor's wife, I believe their two children, and the nanny, Philip Adams. I have zero doubt that this will bring up another CTE conversation across the country.
And surely it'll come up.
It feels like these scenarios are playing out more and more often, and I don't know if that's true or they're at least getting more and more media coverage. I mean, obviously a story like this is going to make the news, but I don't know. I was having lunch yesterday with Russell and Jeff of G&J Auto. It's a long-term discussion, but is football in kind of some danger if this type of stuff keeps happening this much?
I think it depends, because, like, let's say another 10 years down the line, like, if the current crop of older players, mm-hmm. once they start retiring, mm-hmm. if they start having problems down the line, then yes.
Because at that point, it's going to be players that, like, we've all known.
Yeah.
Right? You know, when, was it Tony Dorsett, who was having some issues and said, like, he would go into and out of these, like, rage fits. And I'm like, that's really sad. That's terrible. It's probably CTE related. But I never watched Tony Dorsett play. But when it starts to become players that I, you know, watched a lot in the NFL or even in college, I feel like it hits home a little bit more. And I was having this discussion with, you know, the guys yesterday. I don't know what let's say the trend keeps up. What does the NFL do? What does football do to make its game safer to protect the head, the brain? Is there anything that really can be done? But I'm just saying, if it keeps getting worse, if this keeps happening, eventually there will be either dramatic changes or the game just won't survive. And I hate that. I hate the thought of it. But I realize that the equipment is getting better each and every year. It's getting safer.
The rules have changed.
Exactly. And they're doing a good job. But players are also getting bigger, stronger, faster every year. So, yes, the equipment is better. And I would imagine if you put this equipment on players, you know, 20 years ago, it's probably even safer. But players are so big, so fast, so strong. It's like the body is advancing along with the technology, and it's really not that much of a difference, say, as it would have been 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Per the AP, former NFL player Philip Adams fatally shot five people, including a prominent doctor, his wife, and their two grandchildren. Ages 9 and 6, 9 and 5. before later killing himself, authorities announced Thursday.
It's a sad story, dude. The other was James Lewis. He had been working at the home. I don't know if that means like he was doing some type of construction or something like that, but he was the fifth, 38 from Gaston. Just an awful story. And it just feels like every year there's a couple of these where you can only imagine, and maybe this isn't, but it feels like this is going to be CTE related.
Yep.
Who was the player? Was it Junior Seau that shot himself not in the head because
he wanted his brain studied? Right. Yes.
I mean, that's a terrifying situation where it's almost as if the players know. And the, I don't know, this one seems weird too because it's a doctor. Like, is this a doctor that cleared him or that wouldn't give him the help he wanted? Like, this is just a weird situation.
Apparently, the doctor had been helping him.
Scary stuff, man. Scary, scary stuff. Maybe we can talk about the CTE conversation later, the safety of the game. It doesn't have to be today. It can be next week when Nate gets back. Because I was having this conversation last night. It's fascinating. It never seems to come at the NFL because obviously, you know, players like Phillip Adams, they were probably getting concussions in, you know, high school, obviously college. Like, I don't know where the blame falls, but when you last see a guy in the NFL and then something like this happens, and you're the NFL, I don't even know how many billions of dollars they make a year. It feels like they do shoulder a lot of responsibility here to protect the game and protect players of the game, not just in the NFL, but backwards down the line in college, in high school, peewee, so on and so forth. And I don't know what the answers are there, but stuff like this, just very, very scary, very serious. Take a quick break. Come back. Three and Out, Fan Run Radio. A very quick break on 3 and Out. If you want to join the program, 865-546-8200. We will get into the baseball series against Florida this weekend. We'll probably do that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. A big one for Tony Vitello and the top 10 baseballs, no matter the poll you decide to look at. Man, that Phillip Adams story, that is just terrifying. I'm not going to let it bring down the show. We got to bounce out. Something positive. What do you got for me, positivity-wise?
Oh, never mind.
Anybody? Nothing? No? Nobody?
Well, you wanted something from the NFL. And on that note, there was a development in the Deshaun Watson ordeal in which Deshaun Watson's lawyer requested that all 22 of, I believe, what would you call the plaintiffs?
Yeah.
All their names be released.
And that was granted, I believe, right? He's going to get a hearing over it.
Yes.
I think. Which is, I mean, I get it. He's Deshaun Watson's attorney. You know, he's trying to do anything and everything he can to win this case. If everybody knows the names of these people, then their backstory can be brought up. Anything they've ever done wrong in the past can be brought up. I don't know how I feel about that, especially if, you know, the women came forward, some of them. Obviously, there have been statements from a couple of them already, but if you came forward, just wanted to tell your story, but keep your name out of it to keep your anonymity, I don't know. This is a Davey question. Like, is this common? Were you paying attention at all?
I heard Deshaun Watson. Sorry, you asked for positivity, and I was looking up a story. And I just...
You're sitting right next to me, bro. It's unbelievable.
It's actually a really cool skill.
When I started it, he looked at me and started nodding his head as if he already knew about this.
This is what he does on dates when the woman talks. He just nods, and he's thinking about, I don't know, his model, what he's going to order for dessert.
Fact of the day. Movie quote.
Banger of the day.
I usually don't get dessert whenever I go out on dates. It's more expensive.
Is it common for, in a case like this with Deshaun Watson, for the lawyer to be asking for all the names to be released?
Yeah. You want to know everything that you possibly can so you can investigate, make sure that their story
But if he
lines
knows
up.
Them, does that mean that they have to go, it has to be public?
No.
Or just he knows
no,
them?
No. Like, they can make it to where I mean, they can put limits on how much information gets out. Now, again, if he wanted, like, they could get in trouble if they were releasing the identity and a judge was to say, like, we're holding off on that at the time for the time being.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, no, it's totally within their right to ask who these people are making the accusations. That way, I mean, again, whenever you're in this position, now, granted, there are a lot of people that have come forward and are accusing Deshaun of improprieties whenever he was getting the massages. But no, this is not uncommon. I would actually be frustrated with the attorney if he was not trying to find out who are these people.
Yeah, I think it's important. Well, especially if you're, I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson and his attorney. Who do you know who you're defending yourself against, right? Like, and what may or may not have led to them, you know, telling their story and going forward with this case. So I totally understand that. But this does not mean that they have to make their names public for everybody.
Correct. Okay. Correct, yeah. It's not.
If that's what he was asking, I'd have a big, like, my eyebrow would go
now,
up.
I mean, he might be asking for that, but I haven't looked into it over the last couple of days to know if that's what he's asking, but my assumption is he is just wanting the names of the people so that they can do their due diligence and make sure everything checks out as they are preparing, because based off the looks of things, I mean, this is not something that's going to be ending anytime soon, and it's already in the eyes of the public a big story, and so it's just going to continue to grow, especially if we get more names. But I mean, if I'm Deshaun Watson's attorney, I would want to have as much information on these people as possible. And so if I have the names, I can at least start to do some digging.
Well, yeah, and it's tough for Deshaun Watson to just deny everything without knowing.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to want to find the times of, okay, well, when this occurred.
Right, right. He can't respond to an allegation if he doesn't know what the allegation is. Like, oh, this bad thing happened, but we can't tell you who or when. How do you defend yourself? It's almost impossible, right?
Completely.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Still not looking very good for Deshaun Watson at this point.
No. Again, I mean, we've talked about it. Like, it just – and it would be easy to combat the idea of when people are of his caliber in this profession of really just this class of athletes, you just get a couple – like, once you find a good masseuse, you stick with them. Again, like, this isn't necessarily implying that he's guilty.
Oh, no. I mean, since this happened, we're hearing stories of you know, athletes who hire and bring with them everywhere a specific masseuse.
And even, like, I say this a lot, but, I mean, there's the court of law, which everyone wants to talk about. Obviously, innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. But then there's the court of public opinion. And even if Deshaun is able to escape, I mean, for this to just be a hit job, that is, like...
Seems very unlikely.
Yeah, they're wanting to just take his credibility. Like, he spurned somebody, and so they're like, you know what, I'm getting you back. I'm going to ruin your career over this. The amount of women that's come forward for somebody to have this elaborate of a plan, it would be... It would not be likely as far as how I would say that this is that type of situation. This is something that is obviously a problem. Whether the severity of the allegations or what they claim to be, either way, man, it's not looking good for Deshaun. I don't see how.
Yeah, if it had been 1, 2, 3, 4, you're kind of like, okay, maybe let's kind of wait and see. But you're talking about your court of public opinion, right?
Yeah,
but 22 names?
If you keep it single digits. But then it's like, I even think the idea of, I mentioned this on the show, the fact that he's like, oh, well, we've got these other 20 people that said he didn't do anything when he got a massage from them. It's like, I'm like, man, like, you're getting a massage from this many people and you're this caliber of an athlete. Like, that's just not common. Like, I've talked to people that have played at the NFL level and they're just like, I don't know anyone who's ever done this.
Right.
That's, like, because, like, you take this serious. Like, I mean, your health is your wealth at this point, as my friend Denard would always say. And whenever you are looking to make sure that your body's in tip-top shape, I mean, you find a good masseuse and you stick with them. Mm-hmm. Or even if you do have a couple, like, you want to make sure you have the top people working on this, someone that understands your body. Because, I mean, this is just a personal story. Like, I'd had injuries from just playing, like, football in high school. Like, mm-hmm. just random stuff. Like, I mean, I know everyone that's listening, if you played sport at any level, there's probably some injury that you sustained back in the day, and it maybe still aggravates you a little bit. I've gotten deep tissue massages. Sorry, I said that wrong. But I've had a situation where it's like there was so much pressure where someone was trying to fix my shoulder. I slipped a rib when they put so much pressure. Like, so it's like if someone doesn't know what they're doing here,
mm-hmm.
and they don't understand exactly how your body might react to a certain
pressure
area that
yeah,
they're working
right,
on,
right.
like it can cause severe damage. And so the fact that you've let like 45 people, I think, is like the number we're
at least, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just who's come forward
right.
at this point. So, I mean, and again, like it's one of those things to where it's like if that's the number we're dealing with, there is likely more than just what we've gotten so far.
Well, first of all, weird move at all to just be like, well, yeah, but here are the other 20 that's, I mean, A, it proves your point. Like, why are you having 45 different people give you a massage? Also, and look, it's a business. Everyone's, you know, we're in this thing called life trying to make some money. That might be 20 people who the same thing happened. They were just okay with it. And we read the statement the other day of the girl who's been in, like, counseling and, like, was told by her counselor to come forward with this to help her deal with what the issue was. I can only imagine. Some of these girls probably did it for a while uncomfortably, but kind of just went with the flow. And then all of a sudden you realize what you're doing and, oh, someone came forward. You know what? This happened to me. It still makes me uncomfortable. Now I'm going to come forward. It's just an odd situation. And I don't know. I feel like he's okay in interviews, right? Like Deshaun Watson, yeah, good guy, good teammate, whatever. He's, like, beloved at Clemson. Like, everyone said he's, like, the nicest guy, the greatest guy. This is just a strange story from, I think, who we all thought was just a really good dude, good quarterback, great athlete,
yeah,
good ambassador.
I don't think he was just beloved at Clemson in the city of Houston. Like, I feel like nationally he had a great –
He did not have a lot of detractors.
Yep.
No, I mean, like, whenever you're at Clemson and you're able to take down Alabama, like,
I mean, hell,
I
was a fan.
Like, his story in general, from being a kid of Warwick Dunn's, you know, housing project, coming out of that,
exactly, yeah,
and doing what he's done and made however much money he's made, like, it's just incredible.
Hit a quick break. Kick off hour number two after this. Don't forget Masters or Bassmasters coming up.